We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
From ESPN, where she covers the team we love to hate, the Pittsburgh Steelers, Brooke Pryor with us in the Fan. Brooke, how are you? Thank you for joining us.
No problem. I'm as good as a person can be after watching 3 days of football in shorts and t-shirts. It's been thrilling stuff down here.
Well, at least your team showed up.
Yeah, the Browns. We don't know if the Browns are going to be in practice, Brooke. What did they do much of anything?
So they did not do any 11-on-11. That's what I was told ahead of time. They've really, really, you know, this is not your normal OTA where you'd see some friendly fires, some contact stuff. I mean, they are really emphasizing learning, seeing some, like, very loose 7-on-7 is as close as we've gotten to a real team period. A lot of individual stuff. So, like I said, it's really thrilling to be able to stand there and watch that for 2 hours. But given the fact that we've got a new offensive coordinator down here, some new quarterbacks to look at, old quarterbacks to look at and evaluate also. I mean, I think that this is a pretty illuminating time for the Steelers, even if, you know, we can't necessarily glean a whole ton from how they'll look in the fall right now.
Brooke, how many players do you estimate were in attendance for this OTA session?
I think probably about 75% of them are here. There's a couple position groups that are missing or that are thin. The media policy is that I can't say who is and isn't there, but I can tweet out a picture of certain position groups and tell you to look at a roster and notice that, I don't know, five of a certain position, top five are missing. And they happen to be some that Ben Roethlisberger throws to. So that is about as detailed as I can get. But, you know, I think that these guys are going to start cycling through in the next couple weeks.
Was there a tall quarterback who looks like he drinks a lot of beer in attendance by chance?
You know, there were photos taken of a quarterback wearing the number 7 jersey.
Okay.
So he was there. You know, to me, I know that obviously Ben Roethlisberger, starting quarterback of this team, franchise guy, face of the franchise. I've been looking at number 3, though, most closely, Dwayne Haskins, because I'm really interested to see.
I forgot about him being there.
It's kind of funny. I did, too. I saw him out there. And I was like, who is that guy? Oh, yeah, it's Dwayne Haskins.
Yeah.
They don't draft a quarterback. They don't make any major free agency moves. But this is a pretty low-risk, potentially high-reward situation to bring him in. And, I mean, I've been impressed with what I've seen so far with the understanding that, you know, this is very basic stuff. But, you know, he's not throwing ducks. So I'm excited to see what more he can do when we add more elements to the field.
We're talking with Brooke Pryor of ESPN. She covers the Steelers. And Brooke, you know, I have been crushing the Steelers this offseason because, to me, it's exciting. They've been so good forever.
You've gone way too far with it, though, I think, Adam.
Well, maybe so. I'm in the minority opinion, but I'm convinced that for the first time in 18 years, the Steelers are going to be under 500 this year. And my premise is that a team that had a ton of holes spent a first-round pick on a running back, which to me makes no sense because you can't block for him because your O-line stinks. I think the quarterback showed he was going off the cliff at the end of the season. And I think the defense was good, but they lost a lot of key guys in free agency. I still think they'll be good, but not great. And if I'm right about Ben, and I could be wrong, but if I'm right that he goes over the cliff this year, their offense could be really bad. What have I said that's unfair?
I know it's all fair. And I mean, really get in line as far as the number of people who are convinced the Steelers are going to have a really down season. Potentially under 500, a season that Mike Tomlin has never had in Pittsburgh. And when you list off those things, yeah, it makes a ton of sense that they could potentially go under 500. But then I look at the flip side of it and look at the guys that they do have coming back. I mean, getting Devin Bush back from injury is huge because when he wasn't out there, you could really see a difference in the way that other teams could attack the Steelers on the ground that they just weren't doing when he was healthy. Yes, you lose Bud Dupree, and that is a major loss, not only on the field but in the locker room. I think Alex Highsmith is in a good position to make a step forward this season. He's put on a little bit of weight. He looks better. He looks stronger. Obviously, T.J. Watt is back. On the back end, yeah, you lose Steve Nelson and Mike Hilton. And don't get me wrong, losing Mike Hilton is really going to hurt. And you have to hope that maybe Trey Norwood is the guy that fills in that role. I think Cam Sutton will be a good second corner opposite of Joe Hayden, but we just have to see it on tape. Like, I think that's the thing with this team is that there's so many things that we just haven't seen on tape. It's kind of up in the air. I mean, the offensive line is a great example that they could be either really good or really bad or somewhere in the middle, but this group of guys hasn't played together in these positions for a long period of time. But I think that in a lot of ways, this is a team that knows it has to build for the future, but I said this earlier this offseason, they're in a little bit of an identity crisis because they want to win now and they want to win one more time for Ben, but I don't know that they've assembled the pieces to be able to do that. I mean, even just talking with Duke Manyweather, who trains a bunch of offensive linemen, including Kevin Dodson and Kendrick Green down in Dallas, he said, yeah, I mean, the young guys that they have on this team on the offensive line are going to be really good, but it could take 7 or 8 games for them to gel. And I don't know that the Steelers have the luxury of taking 7 or 8 games to gel if they want to make the playoffs and make a serious push in what is probably Ben's last season.
Brooke Pryor of ESPN with us. Brooke, as a beat reporter, I've never been a beat reporter. I know a lot of beat reporters, and I've talked to some people about this, the frustration to some degree. We all understand that COVID wreaked havoc in a million different areas. It's been horrible for a million different reasons. But I feel like that going forward, that some of these leagues are going to try to use it as an excuse to limit access to reporters, and I don't like it. For your job and for everybody else that's covering a beat, it's important to be in that locker room. Obviously, you got to be safe. We don't want to rush it. People need to be vaccinated. Fine. But that access is important when it's, reasonable to do it. I think they're going to try to stop it. Like, and even with the rules, like you can't name names or whatever, some of the things from OTAs that you can't say. I think it's ridiculous. Are you frustrated by some of this?
Absolutely, especially because the Steelers are one of the few teams in the league that we can watch all of practice. I saw just about every minute of every single practice last season, but I can't report on anything. I can't even tell you who's there and who's not there until we confirm it in the locker room. So when locker rooms are open, I really like the Steelers policy that I can, Najee Harris has a one-handed catch. I can't say that I saw it until I go to him in the locker room afterward and say, hey, Najee, I saw you make that play. Can you kind of walk me through what happened? And it's a great advantage. A lot of beat reporters don't get that. But when that's taken away because of COVID, and like you said, completely understandable last season, understandable right now too, when the vaccination rates likely aren't as high as they will need to be in the NFL to feel safe bringing us back in there. But, it really handicaps what we are able to report and not report. And it does get really frustrating. And beyond that, I mean, the things, the little tidbits that you pick up in the locker rooms just by observing. I mean, a couple years ago, I watched T.J. Watt just absolutely destroy people playing this, like, tabletop soccer game with a marble that you, like, flick to try to score. I mean, he was just – he and Tyson Alualu were going at it, like, every day. Everybody was involved in it. And that's – you miss that color and you miss seeing that side of those guys – when you just see them in Zoom. And, my job is not to become best friends with the guys that I cover, but my job is to try to take fans and other people where they can't go. And that's been really hard in the last year. And you hope that there's an ability to get back in the locker room and reestablish some of those relationships and really tell stories that we haven't been able to tell when you're, in a Zoom room with 50 other people all trying to raise your hand to get called on to ask a question that somebody else is also probably thinking of asking. So I am hopeful that we will have some kind of in-person availability, whether that's full into the locker room or a mixed zone or a podium. But, man, fingers crossed, because I, like everybody else, I am tired of the Zoom calls.
Brooke, you mentioned Najee Harris and the fact that the Steelers drafted him with their first pick. What are the expectations for him? I know the running game last year was really, really, really down, and now with the offensive line issues you guys have, Cam Hayward said it's in flux, to steal his words, the offensive line. He said that the other day. What are the expectations for Najee?
I mean, I think that they're pretty high. You know, we just at ESPN were putting together some fantasy projections, and I think the over-under on touches we had for Najee was 279.
Wow.
And I went over because the Steelers, they like a workhorse at running back. Le'Veon Bell had, I believe it was like 284, 288 touches his rookie season. I think that that is the way that they'll use Najee, you know, whether that's, you know, just as a traditional running back. Matt Canada likes to get the running back out and in part of the receiving game. That's something that Najee was doing at Alabama. I think that he will be everywhere. And, you know, you hope he doesn't run into the rookie wall. If anybody's going to hurdle it, it's obviously going to be Najee. I just think that he is an integral part of this offense because you saw just how stagnant and bad it was when it was not balanced, especially in the second half of last season. And in some ways, the second half of the season before that, once James Conner got hurt, and there was a significant drop-off in the run game, nothing worked. And, I mean, you don't want Ben's elbow to fall off or his whole arm to fall off again this season because there's not a balanced attack. So, I know that there's some disagreement about whether or not they should have taken a running back in the first round, but I do think a guy like Najee can make your offensive line look better, can make your offense as a whole look better, and can elevate, you know, an offense that really needs some help if you're going to try to support a 39-year-old quarterback.
Last year, Brooke, Deontay, in terms of fantasy football, you mentioned projections, fantasy. Deontay Johnson, Chase Claypool, Juju Smith-Schuster were all pretty close in terms of their fantasy relevance. They all had within 100 yards of each other, within two touchdowns of each other. Claypool had the least amount of catches if you're in a PPR league. But if you had to bet the best fantasy value of those three guys, who would you bet on?
Oh, man, that really depends on if Deontay Johnson can hold on to the ball this
year.
Yeah,
true.
If he doesn't have the drops that he has last year, I mean, he's far and away the best fantasy value. That's tough. I'm going to go with Juju because he, in a lot of ways, he's in the same position he was a year ago, a contract season, trying to make, you know, get a big offer somewhere, whether that's the Steelers, a multi-year deal, or elsewhere. I think it has to be Juju. I think he needs to do it, you know, for his relevancy in the football world to try to, you know, get to that next level. So I think he's going to push really hard. He's obviously the guy that Ben is the most comfortable with. And I think that he's going to take another step forward this season, and maybe, you know, that's letting Claypool or Deontay Johnson be the number one guy, and he settles into that number two role where he was when Antonio Brown was here, and he thrived in that position. I know that he has the personality of a top receiver, but maybe he works better as the number two option, let the defense get distracted and let him eat. But, you know, I think we'll just have to see what happens. Like you said, all three of them came very close at the end there, and Deontay would have been the leader by a good amount if he had been able to hold on to the ball.
Brooke, great stuff. Can't wait for the football season to start. Can't get here soon enough. 2 months till training camp. We appreciate the time. Thank you for joining us.
Anytime. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You got it. Brooke Pryor does a great job covering the Steelers.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.